So happy to have you with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Larry Mueller here. Today we're talking about all kinds of treats, maybe some chocolate treats for Valentine's Day. We can talk about some Super Bowl appetizers for Super Bowl, which is obviously coming right up. And we have a couple people who know a lot about those things. We have from Taste of Homes, Simple and Delicious magazine, Ellie Martin Cliff, senior editor of Simple and Delicious, and Peggy Woodward, food editor for Taste of Home Brands, and she focuses on Simple and Delicious. She's also a registered dietitian. And Peggy, thanks for coming by and being with us today.
Well, thanks for having us.
And Ellie, thank you. Really appreciate having you back as well.
Hi, Larry.
So, you guys getting ready for Super Bowl?
You got it. Absolutely.
I have, by the way, I want to give our listeners a chance to join in. You may have some ideas for Super Bowl, or you may have some Valentine's ideas, or maybe just some questions about what to prepare, or maybe you'd just like to know a little bit about something new and different for this time of the year, just for preparing for your family. Give us a call at 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at talk@WPR.org, or you can post on our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. We'd certainly love to hear from you. Now, I have, I've not a lot of people, maybe a dozen or so people coming to the house for the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I've got quite a few things in mind, but there's always more I can learn and always more I can prepare. What are you guys doing for Super Bowl?
Well, in this issue of Simple and Delicious, we've got two awesome handheld snacks that you could grab. They both serve a crowd, and I think the one that I'm most excited to serve up is blue cheese potato chips, and those are basically nachos that you cook in the oven. So those come from a Wisconsinite, actually, Bonnie Hawkins from Elkhorn. She's one of our awesome field editors. And so it's just five ingredients. You take kettle-cooked potato chips. You broil them along with tomatoes, bacon, onion, and blue cheese. Broil it 4 to 5 inches from the heat, 2 to 3 minutes, and it's done. Cheese is melty, and you're ready to eat.
And you just throw it in a bowl, and away we go.
That's right. Yep.
See, I love that. See, that's already one that I was going to make. As soon as I saw that one, I thought, okay, well, I can do that one. And, you know, one of the things about Super Bowl parties is you don't want to be, having to spend all your time making things during the event.
Mm-hmm.
And this is something that you can kind of get it all ready to go and then throw it in the oven and it's in and out in a few minutes and that's the end of it. I like that a lot. I also like the Vidalia onion Swiss dip.
Oh my gosh.
Oh,
that is addictive.
Does that look good?
Yeah. That is, it's like your classic Swiss dip with a little bit of kick because it has some horseradish in it and some hot pepper sauce. So you can use crackers to dip in it or scoop it with fresh vegetables. If you're feeling like that might be a little heavy for you.
You know, you got to throw a little health in there. At least give your guests an option to grab some veggies.
I've just got to find some Vidalia onions. I imagine they'll... Also my supermarket probably has them. I just haven't noticed lately, but I'll... But Vidalia onions, they're such nice sweet onions. They're kind of perfect for something like this.
Yeah, exactly. But you do bake it for 25 to 30 minutes, so mm-hmm. the onions will get tender. So even if you're using a white onion, say, it will be a little bit more mellowed out.
You must have had fun practice making these up and trying them out.
Yeah, we do get a preview of what's coming Super Bowl on Super Bowl Sunday. So it's always fun to try to figure out where we're going to make.
Oh, I would think. Well, tell, you know, for those who aren't familiar with Simple and Delicious, or for that matter, A Taste of Home Brands, maybe we back up from there. Peggy, you want to talk about that?
Sure. Taste of Home Brands is it's the number one food and entertaining magazine really in the world. And all of our recipes are sent in by readers, whether it's Taste of Home or Simple and Delicious magazine. They're sent in by readers, so they're home cooks. They already love these recipes, but they're sending them our way. And then we read through all these recipes, and we pick the best, the very best, to test in our test kitchen right in Milwaukee, just to make sure that they, you know, there's mass appeal, that they're easy to make, you can find the ingredients and, you know, a local grocery store really easily. Then they go right to our photo studio, which we also have right in Milwaukee. And then we send it out to all of you. And Simple and Delicious is a little bit easier. We might focus more on short recipes, 5-ingredient recipes, recipes that could be done in 30 minutes or less. And Taste of Home really hits the holidays hard, whatever's going on, you know, whether it's Super Bowl or Easter, which is coming up very quickly.
Yeah.
And lots of, you know, great weeknight meals.
So, yeah, so there's so much in the book. I really enjoy the photos. So I've mentioned this before on the show. With a cookbook or with a cooking magazine like Simple and Delicious, I like to be able to see what the end product is going to look like.
All the recipes in Taste of Home and Simple and Delicious are photographed, so you can see them all.
Yeah, actually, you get a sort of a preview of it right in the way in the beginning. You've got photos of everything on the first 3 or 4 pages of the magazine. Just little thumbnail photos of everything. And I like that as well.
Yeah, you can start planning your meals for the week and what you're going to make for the Super Bowl and for Easter and for breakfast. So it's a nice way to kind of dive into the magazine and get a glimpse of what you might want to flip to first.
Talking today with Ellie Martin Cliff and Peggy Woodward from the Simple and Delicious magazine and essentially Taste of Home Brands. And they focus more of their attention, I think, on Simple and Delicious. So we're talking about Simple and Delicious foods, zeroing in a little bit on Valentine's Day and a little bit on Super Bowl Sunday, which is coming right up. And I'd love to hear from you. If you had questions or comments or experiences to share, what are you doing for Valentine's or what are you doing for Super Bowl? Give us a call at 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at talk@wpr.org, or you can post on our Facebook page. Just go to the Larry Mueller Show Facebook page. You can post your questions or comments or your recipes right there. Steve in Wausau says, if I can't find Vidalia onions, I should use Peruvian onions because they're very sweet.
Mm-hmm.
Peggy, do you know anything about Peruvian onions?
Yeah, those would be a great substitution. I think most grocery stores would have some type of sweet onion available, even if it isn't Vidalia. So I would just, you know, ask who's ever in the produce department that you're looking for a sweet onion if you can't find them.
Yeah, this sweet onion, where is it? I've got to look it up here. Because you've got Vidalia onions, you've got shredded Swiss cheese, mayonnaise, and horseradish, and a little bit of hot pepper sauce. A little ground pepper. And then crackers, and that's it for this Vidalia onion Swiss dip. That just looks so good.
Mm-hmm.
I'm having that for sure.
Yeah, it's definitely easy. You could throw it into the oven before right before your guests arrive, or just as they arrive, and then it'll come out nice and toasty.
Yeah, you can make that ahead.
It smells so good.
Yeah, and I would assume you could. Well, you can have everything done and ready to go and just to pop in the oven. Or I suppose you could do it. Have you tried it by cooking it, preparing it, and then reheating it in, like, the microwave?
We haven't. We didn't try that. We did actually try this in the slow cooker, and it didn't work as we were hoping. I think it just got a little bit too hot in the slow cooker, too hot for too long. So I would definitely just make this one in the oven. If anything, I would transfer it to, like, a slow cooker on, you know, warm, like a really low setting if you wanted to keep it warm in a slow cooker. So after you heat it up and it gets all melty in the oven, then you could spoon it into maybe a slow cooker on just warm. That might be okay, but I wouldn't cook it in a slow cooker.
You know, I'm just going to bring in Valentine's too, just to encourage people to call in that area as well. Brianne Chesso, my on-air producer, has certainly become my Valentine today because she made for me the dark chocolate bacon cupcakes that are featured in your Taste of Home Chocolate Delights cookbook.
Mm-hmm. Aren't those awesome?
Oh boy, are they good. I had one, and then I decided I wasn't sure, so I had to have another one.
You know, you gotta really try it out. If you're, you know, going to bother having one, you might as well have two.
Oh, man, are they good. And those are... And thank you very much, by the way, for allowing us to post that recipe up on our Facebook page and a few others as well. We'll come back to that dark chocolate bacon cupcake. It is fantastic. So keeping as you're listening today to us gab on here, as I talk with Peggy and Ellie from Simple and Delicious, and also from that chocolate. Taste of Home Chocolate Delights cookbook, among other things. Give us a call, 1-800-642-1234. Email at talk@wpr.org or post on our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. Stella in Sturgeon Bay up. Stella, hi. Thanks for calling.
Hi. I just wanted to share, I invented a recipe for a dip that takes maybe 5 minutes, at most 10 minutes to prepare. Simple, it's delicious, and it never fails to please. It received the ultimate compliment from the young son of a friend of ours who asked me for the recipe.
Good.
Mm-hmm.
You take, depending on the quantity you want, one or more packages of Neuchâtel cheese, which is a lower fat, lower calorie version of cream cheese.
Mm-hmm.
You can let it soften to room temperature, or you can just carefully mash it a bit, and then take whatever flavor of piquant or salsa that you like. You can go mild, medium, hot, mm-hmm. Any brand, any flavor. Just pour a little bit in, mix it in, and do it very cautiously, adding just a little bit at a time so you don't get big lumps of the Neuchâtel.
Mm-hmm.
Everything blends smoothly. And just keep adding it till it's a really nice dipping texture. And
that's it.
Yep, that's it, and it's absolutely delicious.
That sounds great.
What is it? Neuchâtel?
Neuchâtel. Neuchâtel, I think. Maybe.
Oh, okay.
You'll find it right near the cream cheese. You can use cream cheese if you want to, but I always went with the Neuchâtel.
All right. Thank you very much.
It's as good as cream cheese.
Thanks, Stella. Thanks very much for calling. Dips.
That sounds great.
Yeah.
I've made a dip that's really similar, and you don't even have to mix it up. You just put the block of cream cheese out on a serving plate, and then you combine some salsa, you know, whatever level of heat you want. I like it with like a little bit of spice, like a medium salsa, a little bit of whisk, and a little bit of peach preserve.
Mm-hmm.
So it gets a little bit of sweet in there, and some chopped up cilantro, and then pour that right over the top, and it's great to serve on crackers.
So that's, boy, what could be easier than that?
Yeah.
I like that idea.
Much.
I'm liking all these ideas so far. I could have a lot of things at the Super Bowl party, that's for sure. But for sure, I'm going to have the Vidalia onion Swiss dip, and I'm for sure going to have the blue cheese potato chips. How do you serve those blue cheese? How do you eat those? I mean, do you grab them with your hands?
Huh? Yep.
Yeah, you just pick them up with your fingers, and you can use the chip to scoop up the extra toppings.
I've got some blue cheese in the refrigerator, and how do you know when blue cheese isn't good anymore?
When the mold goes away? I don't know.
Yeah, I would definitely check the expiration day marked on the package for that one.
Oh, man. Joe in Platteville, it's your turn. Hi, Joe. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, hey, great show. Thanks for taking my call. First comment is we should be using regional and seasonal foods. The first recipe is probably great for the summer, but tomatoes this time of year are horrible. I wouldn't advocate using tomatoes unless it's maybe July or August. And then I'm curious if the guests can give us some ideas of what's really good this time of the year in Wisconsin. And I've got a couple of ideas, if you have time to hear them, for cooking for Super Bowl stuff.
What have you? Well, give us that.
Yeah.
Okay, sure. One thing, you can just butternut squash, pumpkin, any kind of orange vegetable, cube it, maybe half-inch cubes, and sauté in a little bit of oil. You could put it in the oven and serve it with toothpicks, you know, like you do mushroom caps or something like that. Put herbs on there. You could probably put a little molasses, maybe some balsamic vinegar when you're done with it. But just maybe 3/4-inch cubes of squash or pumpkin sautéed. Probably put it in an oven is one way to do it, too, and serve that warm. Another thing, a good dip. I always make artichokes. Of course, they're from a can. But mozzarella cheese, mayonnaise, something red like red pepper, red onion. Could even use grated carrot, something like that. Artichokes chopped up from a can, spinach, parsley, kale, and something green, a little bit of put mustard in if you want, some Parmesan Romano, Asiago cheese, maybe some seeds, chopped up seeds, nuts in there as well, and serve that with bread, baguette. It's called artichoke ramekin is what I call it, and very, very simple, just cheese, mayonnaise, artichokes, and something green and something red. And take that till it's brown and bubbly and serve that.
That sounds great, too. Thanks, Joe. And all right, so Joe's question is about, what about seasonal things? What, comment on that, Ellie or Peggy?
Yeah. Yeah, we've, you know, apples are great for storage. A lot of people probably still have storage apples in their cellar if they have apple trees. And a really, really simple idea with using apples is just cut them into slices, throw them on a baking pan, and top it with a little bit of Gruyere cheese and put it in the oven. It comes out nice and melty and smooth, and the Gruyere tastes really great with the apple slices. You could try some roasted, just like he was saying, some roasted squash, like cube butternut squash. Add a little salt and pepper, maybe a little bit of brown sugar. Roast that off, and then serve them on skewers with little balls of goat cheese. Roll the goat cheese in little balls and then roll the balls into some finely chopped walnuts and put them on the skewer with the roasted squash. Would be a really great seasonal appetizer.
Oh, I like that idea, too. Oh, my goodness. I'm writing all this down furiously. Vince emails that, you know, blue cheese is bad when it gets fuzzy and has orange spots on it. Apparently, Vince has experience with this.
Yeah.
I've never quite gone that far with my blue cheese. Talking today with Ellie Martin Cliff and Peggy Woodward. Ellie is senior editor of Simple and Delicious magazine. Peggy Woodward, a food editor for Taste of Home Brands, focuses most of her attention on Simple and Delicious, and she's also a registered dietitian. Talking food, zeroing in a little on Valentine's Day and Super Bowl Sunday, but hey, you know what? We can talk about food of any types with these two characters. I'm Larry Mueller. Breanne Chessel, our on-air producer on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Talking with you about food, zeroing in a little on Valentine's Day and also Super Bowl, but broadly speaking, we can talk about all kinds of foods with our two guests. Ellie Martin Cliff, senior editor of Simple and Delicious magazine. Peggy Woodward, food editor for Taste of Home Brands. And she's also a registered dietitian, so that's great, too. You can join in. Questions, comments, or experiences to share. What are you doing for Valentine's Day? Or what are you doing for Super Bowl Sunday? What have you got planned for food? Call in 1-800-642-1234. email us at talk@WPR.org or post on our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. We'd certainly love to hear from you. Is there anything unique about Super Bowl food? You guys, Peggy?
Well, I don't know about unique, but it's always delicious. I mean, they're always like the most comfort food, you know, very, very rich. I mean, you rarely see any sort of light dips or spreads out. Although the last caller there, she did use the reduced fat cream cheese in her spread, which I applaud her for. So yeah, just rich and fun and different. We have these mini mac and cheese dogs in Simple and Delicious, which is on newsstands on February 9th. But this recipe will be on our website available to your readers starting tomorrow morning. So all of our Super Bowl recipes will be available to your listeners starting tomorrow, and all of our chocolate recipes are available on our website today. So these mini mac and cheese dogs are so fun. So all it is just a hot dog, a little, you cut your hot dog in half and you serve them in mini buns and you top it with macaroni and cheese. And then on top of that, you sprinkle a little bit of toasted panko crunchy oniony breadcrumbs on top. So super easy to do. Well, please, you know, from kids that are at your party to adults. You know, I think it's just kind of a fun twist. I think all Super Bowl foods are, you know, the most fun appetizers.
Oh, I do. Where do you get these little mini hot dog buns?
Well, you could either just buy a mini, like a slider bun, and kind of use that as a hot dog bun. You could cut a hot dog bun in half.
Oh,
what
sure.
What we did was we used frozen bread dough dinner rolls and cut those dinner rolls in half before they were baked. And then we shaped them into mini hot dog buns and baked them.
So they're, they look really good.
All you need to do is start off with a frozen dinner roll dough, cut them in half, bake them, and you've got mini hot dog buns.
Well, what about this Chipotle chili sloppy dogs? Go ahead. Sorry.
Those are from our ground beef or our ground meat contest. We had a contest in this issue of Simple and Delicious that was all about ground meat. And that one is really, really great. It makes six servings, so you can easily double the recipe if you wanted to, if you're having a big Super Bowl bash. The sauce has some sweet onion in it, some green pepper, jalapeno pepper, chili sauce. And then I have some chipotle peppers and adobo sauce, which give it a smoky heat. And you just bring it to a boil. You let that simmer and serve it on a buttered hamburger bun.
You know, I like that idea, too. My daughter is actually, her school has a Sloppy Joe recipe, and she's insisting that I use the school Sloppy Joe recipe because it's her favorite one. I have all these other ones, and I've had some nice pork ones from Simple and Delicious that were a big hit at another party that I had.
Mm-hmm.
But I've got to go with the Holy Cross. Barbecue.
That must be some recipe.
Well, it's actually pretty. It's pretty simple, fairly simple recipe as well. So, I don't mind it too much. And it actually, when I first saw it, I thought, oh, this isn't going to be all that exciting. But it's pretty good. And she loves it. And it's the only thing she asked for. In terms of food that she really really wanted. So I thought, okay.
You gotta do it.
I'll go with that. But but you guys again have some of those great ones. Pork. You got a pork one in here too? Pork barbecue? I think you do. In the latest. Oh no, it's the Chipotle chili sloppy joes though really do look good.
They're definitely a lot of fun. So maybe you could take a little portion of that Holy Cross
mixture, that sloppy joe, put it into your own little bowl and stir some chipotle peppers in there to give it a little kick and stress it up a little bit.
You know, that might not be a bad idea. I could have two pans.
Yes.
One pan for the kids and some adults. Actually, people really like that recipe, but I'd like to always want to experiment with it.
Yeah. It's fun to do something different.
Yeah, it's really fun to do something different. So anyway, and there's another one I thought about, Quentin's Peach Bourbon Wings.
Wings, yep. Those are in the February-March issue of Taste of Home, which I have in front of me, luckily. And those are sweet, they're spicy, and they've got some bourbon in them. So they have a little kick from that kind of heat. And they're baked in the oven, and then you toss them with the sauce, and they are just delicious.
Peach and bourbon really sounds like a good combo.
Yeah, a little bit sweet, a little bit smoky. They're wonderful. And I've been noticing some Twitter conversations from readers about how good they are already. So people have already dug in.
Now, where am I going to find those? Are again are at the Taste of
They're going to be on our website in the morning, tasteofhome.com.
Oh, that's right.
Yep, this magazine is available on newsstands right now. So if your readers can't wait or your listeners can't wait till tomorrow, they can run out to the grocery store and buy it.
The Simple and Delicious. Yeah, the February-March issue. It's got a pretty cool cover, too. What have you... My goodness, what's the... I didn't look at the description of the cover dish. It looks good. It's layered with beans and corn and guacamole.
It is an enchilada casserole, and this is one of our new features. I'm so excited you brought this up, because we're really excited about it. But it's a feature in the issue called Double Duty, where you make one thing in the slow cooker one day, and then you use leftovers to make something else. So it's really kind of a cook once, eat twice kind of thing. So you make this really great chili, super hearty, full of vegetables and ground beef, and then the next day or whenever you feel like it, you can make this layered enchilada casserole that we use a chili in and added some corn and some Mexican cheese, black beans, pinto beans. It was pretty awesome.
Little sliced avocado on top. Boy, it looks good. Nice.
Yeah. Yeah, and you can freeze it. So we give you directions on how to freeze it and then how to thaw it out safely and cook it so it tastes like you just made it that day.
Yeah, it really does look great. Ellie Martin Cliff, Peggy Woodward, our guest today from Simple and Delicious magazine. Love to hear from you if you've got an experience to share or some recipes that you would like to talk about. Give us a call, 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org or post on our Facebook page at The Larry Mehler Show. I'd certainly love to hear from you, so give us a call. Carl emailed us about his family's Super Bowl tradition. He says his family first goes outside when the game starts and in the snow plays Duck, Duck, Goose. Then when it gets dark, they play hide and seek. When they're done, they go inside and have a popcorn party with about 10 different kinds of popcorn. They drink hot chocolate, and if they think of it, they turn on TV to watch the game.
I can't decide whose party I want to go to.
Doesn't that sound like fun?
Absolutely.
It's definitely different. Yeah.
And, you know, when the Packers aren't playing, you can find other things to do while the game is on or before the game for sure. And I like the popcorn party with 10 different kinds of popcorn.
That is fun.
That sounds like a great idea. I love that. Well, maybe there's some other Super Bowl traditions out there. What about, let's talk about chocolate, because we've got Valentine's around the corner, and I mentioned The dark chocolate bacon cupcakes that Breanne made is just wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
There's a chocolate lover's pudding. Then the person who sent this in said, I made this for the first time when my husband asked me, why don't you ever make chocolate pudding?
Ouch. Here you go. Yeah.
So it's
this recipe would be great, like for families. Make it for your family on Thanksgiving, not on Thanksgiving, on Valentine's Day. It's a really nice pudding. It's got 2% milk in it. It's got a couple egg yolks in it to make it nice and rich and thick. And it's made with semi-sweet chocolate. So it's really a really fun recipe. You could eat it warm or chilled. Whenever I make chocolate pudding at home, I can never wait for it to chill. So I always have it warm, even though I do prefer it to be chilled. But I typically end up eating it warm, so I can't wait.
Oh, it sounds really, really good. And the one that I'm going to try is there's a chocolate cherry truffle.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm always, I look at this recipe and I thought, gosh, this is pretty easy to make. And, truffles, they always look so fancy, and they are kind of fancy, I guess, in a way, but they're not so tough to make.
No, they're actually really pretty easy. This one has dried cherries in the recipe. So you soak dried cherries in cherry brandy. So they get nice and soft and plump up. And you combine that with some dark chocolate and heavy whipping cream. So that sets up, you chill it, you let it get firm, and then so it gets firm enough where you could roll it into balls. Truffles really are easy. The trickiest thing is then just dipping them in melted chocolate. So, you usually just set it on a fork and dip it right down into the melted chocolate, lift it up and let the excess kind of drizzle off, and then set it on a piece of wax paper. And I like to put my wax paper on a baking sheet so I could easily move it. You're usually working on your kitchen counter, and then you want these to set up. So then you could usually just, move it to your kitchen table or somewhere out of the way. So you could just let them set up a little bit.
Do you put them in the refrigerator to let them set up, or do you just let
them
set?
You don't need to. You can usually just let them stand until they're set. But if you're in a rush, you can definitely put them into your refrigerator to chill a little bit.
But it's probably better to let them just naturally.
Yeah, then you won't have that temperature change to worry about. And really, you want to eat these not right from the refrigerator, but to get the most chocolate, flavor and that really melt-in-your-mouth texture that we love from truffles. You want them to be at room temperature.
And how many days, let's say you've got a party coming up and you're in a, and I have one, I've got... Yet again, another fundraiser for my daughter's school, where I will be likely making some truffles, or I was thinking about making some truffles, and I wondered how many days ahead I can make them and still not suffer quality loss.
Yeah, I would say, 3 to 5 days, but then I would just store them in the refrigerator if you're going to be holding them for a few days. Then they won't, be at risk of getting too soft or, anything like that. I make truffles a lot for the holidays, and I'll make one big batch. And then as I go to different, events, see different family and friends, I'll pack them up. So they do hold really well in the refrigerator.
Have you ever frozen them?
I haven't. I would worry about the chocolate a little bit blooming, but definitely in the refrigerator would be okay.
All right. So, chocolate cherry truffles... That's for April, April 9th, April 9th to be exact. We'll be having a little chocolate and wine event at the school, and they'll become Larry's chocolate cherry truffles. I'll do something with the recipe so I can put my own name on it.
Yeah, your own stamp on it.
Oh, man.
I think they're going to be a hit, Larry. I see that this person who submitted them, she's from Milwaukee, and they won a blue ribbon at the state fair.
Oh, all right.
Yeah.
Well, we have, I'm going to make those for sure. And then, and you can, this particular recipe yields a lot. Yields like 40.
Yep, four dozen.
Four dozen. And I'll have to double the batch. But you, that shouldn't be a problem, should it?
No, not at all.
All right. So chocolate cherry truffles on board. What about chocolate brownie waffle sundaes?
Yeah, this is definitely something I want to make for my family this Valentine's Day. I finally got a waffle iron for Christmas, this past Christmas. So I like experimenting with it. And this is, instead of just making a traditional waffle, it's like a brownie batter that you pour onto your waffle iron. I mean, what could be better than that? A brownie batter on your waffle iron.
Oh.
And then, so you serve it warm with a little bit of ice cream and any fun ice cream toppings that you want to put on it. So I think I'll have my kids just, you know, pick out whatever toppings they want, kind of like a, you know, a sundae bar, once I make the waffles and top it with some ice cream.
That sounds really good. And I've got a waffle made. I haven't made waffles in forever and a day. That'd be something to try for Valentine's with my with Emily. She likes waffles, so that might be the best thing to do. Talking today with Peggy Woodward and Ellie Martin Cliff from Simple and Delicious magazine. Boy, it's a lot of fun talking with them. We're visiting about Super Bowl treats and preparing for Valentine's Day and other kind of cooking as well and regular food preparation. So give us a call. Maybe you've got an experience to share. Maybe you've got a recipe to share. Call in 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org or post on our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. We'd love to hear from you. I'm Larry Mueller here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.
Here's a look at what's coming up this afternoon here on the Ideas Network. At 12:30 on Chapter a Day, Carl Schmidt reads from Essays After 80 by former poet laureate Donald Hall. Then join us from 1 till 3 when John Munson is in for Kathleen Dunn. After 1, examining the so-called parallel prison system for U.S. immigrants. After 2, an American journalist's take on how living in America feels backward after living in Norway.
Wisconsin Life is out in Wisconsin.
I am a participant at Girls Rock Camp. I've been playing the electric guitar ever since I was 8. I really like meeting with your band and really rocking out.
Girls Rock, Girls Rock!
Wisconsin Life, the people and places that sound like home. Mondays and Wednesdays during Central Time and online all the time at wisconsinlife.org.
Support for WPR comes from the UW-Madison College of Engineering, offering online master's degrees, certificates, and professional development courses. More on the new website at epd.wisc.edu/WPR. Support also comes from Gail Ambrosius Chocolatier, maker of gourmet dark chocolates and truffles. Special Valentine's Day selection now available, including a lover's box. 2086 Atwood Avenue, on the web at gailambrosius.com.
Thanks so much for joining us on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Larry Mueller talking about food, Valentine's Day foods, Super Bowl treats. We can talk about it doesn't have to be Super Bowl. It doesn't have to be Valentine's Day to talk about food. And certainly you can join in. Maybe you've got a question about something that you want to prepare. Maybe you have an experience to share. The number is 1-800-642-1234. Give a call. Email us at talk@wpr.org. Or you can post on our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. And if you've got a nice photo to post, we'd love to see that as well. Maybe you've got a nice food photo or a photo of the gang around some food. Give us that on our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. Let's turn to Emily in Sand Creek. Emily, hi. Thanks for calling.
Thanks for taking my call. I have tried to make cake pops for my children's parties at least 3 times now, and it has been a complete failure. And I've seen a Facebook video where they make like 4 different kinds, and it looks amazing. and I'm just terrified. Could you please help?
Kate?
What happened? What went wrong? They wouldn't hold together?
They didn't hold together very well, and then I froze them. And then when I got them out, I warmed the chocolate, and I dipped them in, and then I put them back to freeze some more. And when I pulled them out, they were like, weirdly, like you could see through to the cake in there, and it was just, it was just a huge mess. And you know, my kids thought I was just the worst.
Now wait a minute, what is cake pop?
Oh, they're great. You take like a cake mix, you make the cake, and then you crumble the cake up, and then you throw in, I think you guys would probably know better than I would, but you throw in maybe some frosting and kind of mush that together and kind of make it into a ball. And freeze it, then pull it back out and dip it in chocolate or white chocolate or something. And then they're supposed to be these little balls that you can bite into, and they, like, are wonderful when they're made correctly, but when I make them,
you know. Okay, I have a recipe for you. I think, well, it sounds like your chocolate is too thin. It's just not the right amount of, like, kind of liquid binder in your cake mix mixture. We have a recipe in our Chocolate Delights cookbook, which is on sale now at anywhere that they sell books, for caramel cashew cake pops. And it's so easy, you don't even really need a recipe. So you make a package of chocolate cake mix in a 13x9. Just according to the package directions, you bake it off, crumble it up in a large bowl, and then you add 3/4 cup of dulce de leche. Do you know what that is?
Yes, my husband has begged me to make one of those cakes forever, and I set that up. And,
okay.
That's another story.
What is
it? Dulce de leche. It's like a sweet caramely mixture in a can that you get.
Okay.
So you stir in 3/4 cup of that. You mix it up. You shape them into 1-inch balls. You put the little pop sticks in, and then you freeze them for a couple hours. So it's just the cake mix and the dulce de leche. Freeze them for about 2 to 3 hours, and then you melt just about 2.5 pounds of the milk chocolate candy coating. So I would get the candy coating. What did you use as your chocolate dipping? Did you use, like, chocolate chips with some...
Honestly, because I didn't know what I was doing. I think I used chocolate chips, and I probably should have used, like, the bark or the, something better. So, that's probably my problem.
The candy coating is really meant for melting. The chocolate chips are not meant for melting. They're, you know, they try to stay in that chocolate chip shape. So, really the best thing would be, like, a bar of chocolate. Or that candy coating, which is really meant to melt nice and smooth and then set up once it's... you know, you've dipped your cake pops in them. You just dip it in the melted candy coating. We like to roll it in the chopped cashews to really make it look pretty on the outside. And then you let it stand until you're set. Another trick is to insert the cake pops while they're cooling and setting up into, like, a block of styrofoam that you would get from, like, Joann's or Michael's. Just get a block of styrofoam, and just stick the pops in there so they set up nice and pretty.
Wonderful. Thank you so much.
Oh,
you're welcome.
Yeah, that's great. Thanks a lot. Appreciate that call. We had Carl wondered, this is going back to Super Bowl festivities, he wants to know if you have any suggestions about flavorings for popcorn. They'd like to try something new and different.
Popcorn. Well... I just think about all the different kinds of mixed spices that are out there, like chipotle seasoning, or you can get, like, lemon pepper seasoning. And these are already pre-mixed in the spice aisle. So you won't have to, you know, take guesses at, you know, how much of different herbs or spices to mix up if you're not really, you know, sure about how much to add. I like to just do a little bit of Parmesan cheese and garlic salt together. That's really simple. I do a little bit of dried parsley in there as well to give it a little bit of color. If you like sweet things, I always love doing like white chocolate candy coating on my popcorn. Just mix a little bit in there, and it's like dessert. It's not really like a popcorn. At that point, it's dessert.
Don't you have a caramel nut corn popcorn recipe?
We do. We have, it's caramel nut chocolate popcorn cones, and that's also in our Chocolate Delights cookbook. And this would be great for like a classroom treat if you've got kids. Basically, it's just a sugar cone, you know, an ice cream sugar cone, and you make a little bit of ganache with some melted chocolate and heavy whipping cream. You pour a little bit of that inside of the cone, and then you dip the edges, the top edges of the cone in the chocolate. So you get a little extra pop of chocolate. And you, the rest of the recipes for the caramel corn, the caramel popcorn, and then you just load up that that ice cream cone with caramel popcorn and drizzle it with a little bit more chocolate and top with some chopped pecans. What could be wrong with that? So maybe if, you know, there are nut allergies in your kids' class, you could leave off the pecans and just do the, you know, the caramel and the chocolate.
Boy, that sounds really good. I'm a I love caramel corn. I just,
it's so good.
Oh yeah. Man, it's so good. I go back to Halloween when I was a kid. Mabel Korfmacher, I even remember her name, made made and gave away caramel corn balls. She made popcorn balls out of with caramel corn. Oh my goodness, was it good! I wanted to visit her time and time again on Halloween.
That is a treat. Yeah.
Oh, boy. Brianne, by the way, my on-air producer, says she loves to mix. She does brown sugar, cinnamon, and ground habanero chili pepper for her popcorn.
Oh. Ooh.
Because it's sweet and then extra spicy. So brown sugar, cinnamon, and ground habanero chili pepper. Mix that all together and put it on the popcorn.
That sounds delicious. We need to have that caller write on your Facebook page what different kinds of popcorn they have at their popcorn bar on Super Bowl Sunday.
I wish that would be nice. Actually, I would love to see that. If you're, well, I'm sure you're still listening in, you want to post that up on our Facebook page at the Larry Mueller Show, what you have in all those different popcorn recipes. Please do it, because we want to see. We want to see. We have, let's see, what else have we got here? We've got, here's an interesting one I wanted to bring up, and I just kind of forgot about it. Grant, an email from Grant. He has a delicious, this is not popcorn, this is a delicious-sounding chocolate recipe. He says, over the last year or so, he's been baking with chocolate and sourdough bread. Ingredients usually include toasted hazelnuts or toasted walnuts, as well as sour cherries, golden raisins or figs, and vanilla is always involved. And then I guess that goes over the sourdough bread. Is that the way, Brianne? Is that what? Is that Brianne says? I'm not sure.
Yeah, I don't know, or mixed in there. Well, he definitely needs, they can't leave us hanging. Post that. Post the recipe for us, please.
Grant, post that up on our Facebook page, will you? I want to know what that's all about. Oh, my goodness. You can post or you can call in, as a matter of fact, at 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at talk@wpr.org or post on our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. Talking food today with our two guests, Ellie Martin Cliff and Peggy Woodward from Simple and Delicious, the Taste of Home Brands and Simple and Delicious magazine. Really fun to have them with us today. That caramel nut chocolate popcorn cone thing, well, that really does, that does sound, sound really good. And tell you what, I may be trying that one out too. That's a little more, that seems like a little more work to me.
It is a little bit more involved, but you could do it in steps. You could dip your cones, your in chocolate, and let those set up, and then you can make your caramel corn at another time and stuff your cones with the caramel corn.
Yeah, I don't think I'm going to get it done this week. I've got too many other things to make, what with the Vidalia onion cheddar thing and and all these other, and the blue cheese potato chips. If as you're listening in here, if you tuned in late, blue cheese potato chips is looking like a winner to me. It's kettle cooked potato chips. It's a couple of medium tomatoes, although somebody said, oh, I don't like to use tomato. But no, you probably wouldn't. Canned tomatoes wouldn't work, would they?
No, but I think that you could use sun-dried tomatoes. You'd just chop them up finely.
Oh.
It would add a little extra tang, so you'd have that with the blue cheese, too. So that could work really well.
Yeah, I like that idea. And then you've got eight bacon strips cooked and crumbled. How do you go wrong with bacon?
I'm so hungry right now, Larry.
No, that's the curse of doing this program at between 11 and 12:30. As I'm always starving by the time the show's over. We've got green onions. You got a cup of crumbled blue cheese, and you put them in put them in a broiler.
Uh huh.
For,
yeah, I was also thinking about another way that you work with this recipe. And instead of tomatoes, you could do a butternut squash. You could roast it first, dice it up or cut it into a smaller chop and roast it. And then you could just toss it all together with everything at the end. So it would be a sweeter profile than the one with the tomatoes, but I think it would be really darn good.
Oh, that would be interesting. You think the squash and the blue cheese would go together?
I do, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I like to eat squash with goat cheese, so I think a tangy cheese like blue cheese would work too.
Why wouldn't it? I've got some squash. I have some squash at home. That might be worth a try. I'll have to ponder that one. Although I don't have a lot of time anymore.
No.
You guys want to come over and help? I've got so many dishes in mind here but that Vidalia onion Swiss dip, that's the other one. I'm definitely going to have that one, and the mini mac and cheese dogs.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, that one is so easy, but it looks so good and it's different. You could even put ketchup on top of that, couldn't you?
Yep, you could. Yeah.
Could make the buns early.
Yeah, I could do the buns early and the macaroni and cheese. You just use a mix, right?
Yeah.
You couldn't get any simpler than that. Oh, my goodness. We need to take a quick look at the news here and take a little break. Talking today with Ellie Martin Cliff and Peggy Woodward from Simple and Delicious magazine. I hope you'll join in. Give us a call with your suggestions, your tips for preparations for Super Bowl and Valentine's. Thanks so much for joining us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Larry Mueller, having some fun today talking with Ellie Martin Cliff and Peggy Woodward, who are with Simple and Delicious magazine, went really with the Taste of Home's home brands. But they focus more of their attention on Simple and Delicious. Peggy's also a registered dietitian. So we're having fun talking with them today about, we zeroed in a bit on Valentine's Day, Super Bowl, Sunday treats. But we've broadened it out as well, and we're talking about other things too. So join in with your own questions or comments at 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org or post on our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. We'd love to hear from you. We have Karen wondered, and maybe you guys know, Ellie and Peggy, where to get vinegar powder to sprinkle over popcorn.
Oh, like a malt vinegar powder? I'm not sure.
I've Amazon, never heard of vinegar maybe? Powder.
I'm Googling.
I've never.
No, I've never heard of such a thing.
A vinegar powder. Well, is it Ellie who's Googling? Ellie?
Yeah, Ellie is. I found it, apple cider vinegar powder at AmericanSpice.com.
AmericanSpice.com.
So, yeah, I've never been to this spice place before. But you know what? I was thinking about the popcorn spices that I use in my house, and we love the Spice House based here in Milwaukee, and they have this spice blend called Gateway to the North, And it's shallot powder, and there's some maple sugar in there and some other savory spices. And together, it's a salty, sweet treat. It's so good. And it sticks to the oil on the popcorn really nicely, and it's just awesome.
Oh, that sounds wonderful.
It's great.
I just got a note from Cara, and we're skipping around, but that's all right. The blue cheese potato chips. Cara says that she likes to go with grape tomatoes this time of the year, simply mm-hmm. because the grape tomatoes, for her, the grape tomatoes taste the most like tomatoes that you get and you eat in the summertime.
Yeah, real tomatoes.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, so that's not a bad idea for sure. So, unless
no, and those can be. Oh, sorry.
No, go ahead.
Those can be hydroponically grown. So I think that they probably could be more local than something like a larger beefsteak type tomato.
Lance on Facebook sent a photo of this really good-looking bread. Let me just click. I'm going to click on it and make it a little bigger here. Oh, it looks wonderful. This is a grainy bread available at the local bakery. They call it Volkenbrot, Volkenbrodt. And Lance toasts it and puts a little Danish soft butter on it and some blue cheese and eats it with pickled hot peppers. Oh, my God.
That sounds really
good.
Wow.
And I'm looking at this bread. It just looks absolutely fabulous. And then I'm thinking, it'll go to our Facebook page at the Larry Mueller Show. You'll see it right in the middle
Lance
of the page.
Lancewood Bakery. She said a local bakery, but you didn't say the name.
No,
where
I know.
Where can you stop for that bread?
Lance, I bet it. Well, Lance, let us know the bakery. Post again on our Facebook page and let us know the bakery, because I want to know, because that bread looks really, really good. So there's that. What else? I had some other tips or some other points that I wanted to bring up from people here, and I've lost my notes. What did I do with my notes? Tell you what, you can join in while I'm looking for my notes and give us some of your own ideas at 1-800-642-1234. You can also email us at talk@wpr.org or post on our Facebook page at the Larry Mueller Show. We'd certainly love to hear from you. And, somebody asked about prep. There was before we go back to the phones here, someone was wondering about what you can prep ahead to make that Super Bowl, or probably any event, but Super Bowl, because you're typically doing a lot of different things.
Mm-hmm.
What can
yeah,
be...
Yeah, you can...
Go ahead.
You can do a lot ahead. I usually try to, when I'm making out a list for a party, especially something like a Super Bowl when there's a lot of appetizers, I try to just get a mix of cold and hot appetizers. So the cold, you could make almost all of those appetizers ahead of time. So that really helps out. And then the hot appetizers, a lot of those you could either par-bake, like if they're wrapped in crescent roll dough or something like that, where so you put it in the oven just for a short time, like 5 minutes, and then finish baking it after your guests arrive. So you can par-bake those or just pre-assemble them so they're ready to pop into the oven. So always a mixture of cold appetizers, hot appetizers. Anything that goes into a slow cooker is really great. And a lot of dips that aren't, written to go into the slow cooker, if it's a warm dip, they almost always keep well in a slow cooker. Just a small slow cooker set on warm is really great. Chopping all your vegetables ahead of time if you're doing like a veggie dip is always something easy to do. Always making sure that your buffet is set up with all the plates and the napkins and the, you know, anything that you need to serve is always, you know, easy to do ahead of time, even the night before. So I think really just making sure that you have a combination of recipes that will work well together, some ahead of time, some day of the party, some after your guest gets there. So make it easy on yourself.
That's really great advice. Well, I'm wondering, one of the things, the make-ahead things, are deviled eggs. And I love deviled eggs. This is one, yet another thing that I really love. But you're seeing, even in some brew pubs in the Madison area, that's coming. The deviled eggs are appearing as appetizers with a number of different kinds of flavorings. Have you seen that in Milwaukee?
Yeah, but I think the first time I ever had a deviled egg at a brew pub was at the Old Fashioned, right? So, yes, I think they do eggs here. And we actually have a deviled egg recipe in this March issue of Simple and Delicious, if you want to hear about it.
Yeah, let's hear it.
Yeah, okay. It's actually a spread, so it's like a deviled egg, only you just mash all of it up, and it's easier to keep in your fridge if you want to make it ahead of time. So you don't have to worry about keeping the top clear from getting smashed by something else in your fridge. But it's hard-cooked eggs, Miracle Whip. You put some cheese, some bacon together, and then our not-so-secret ingredient for this is pickled banana peppers and a little bit of the juice to give it a little bit of spicy tang. And then you just mix it together with salt and pepper and eat it on crackers. Or, like that dip, the Vidalia onion dip, you could use fresh vegetables if you want to feel a little better about yourself.
I love banana peppers, too. There's not a lot that I don't love when it comes to food, I guess, but banana peppers would be a great addition to deviled eggs. Well, I love that. You mentioned slow cookers, and I'm wondering, I have a couple of slow cookers. And maybe three. I can't remember. Yeah, there are three. I've two that I use more often than not. Do you have a is there a slow cooker that you like, say, better than another, or that you enjoy using that's fairly accurate?
Well, all slow cookers are, you know, the new ones seem to run hotter. When we're testing in our test kitchen, they seem to run a little bit hotter than old slow cookers. So sometimes if people send us recipes and they say, you know, cook on, you know, for 8 or 9 hours, it's really done before that. And with today's, you know, new, really super-powered slow cookers, I have a Rival. I like it a lot. You could program it. You know, it kind of depends on what kind of bells and whistles you want. You could program them to you know, start at a certain time. You could program them to go on warm after it's done cooking. So I think that's really helpful for people that, you know, work. If you're gone from the house for, you know, 9-10 hours a day, it's easier just to set it up and know that it's going to go on warm instead of still cooking after, you know, 8 hours. So it'll still be ready for you when you get home, but it's not going to be overcooked. And I have to tell you about a slow cooker that when I got married, my husband didn't bring a lot of kitchen equipment into our union, but what he did bring is a football-shaped slow cooker.
No.
So those, and every time I bring it out, I get comments on it. So I would also recommend a football-shaped slow cooker. It's great for dips and spreads, you know, keeping this for appetizer meatballs, things like that. So it just goes on warm, and it's great for parties.
So it just works on warm?
Yes.
I've never seen one.
Yeah, it's great.
and of course, it'd be the husband. It'd be the male that would be coming into the union, as you say.
Yeah.
Bringing a football-shaped slow cooker. Oh, my goodness. What? So, and what's that? Who makes that? Do you remember?
I don't know who makes that. But the one that I use almost all the time is a Rival brand slow cooker. Those are usually, you know, very run, you know, common brand name, popular.
Yeah, I think I have a Rival too. I have what's the original slow cooker? We got the original the original
slow pot.
Was it crock pot? Yeah. I've got a crock pot slow cooker as well, so I guess I'm okay for it, but mine cooks you're right about the overcooking. You have to be careful. If it says 8 hours, it's going to be done way before 8 hours, typically.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and you know, you kind of have to get used to your slow cooker, just like you get used to your oven. You know where hot spots are. If your oven runs hot or, you know, too low, and you kind of adjust the temperature. Sometimes slow cookers have hot spots in them where, you know, things typically burn. So even though we always say, you know, don't lift off the lid, you know, when you're slow cooking something, you just have to kind of get to know your slow cooker. Sometimes you need to give it a stir, you know, partway through cooking, or, you know, just knowing if you have a hot spot or not can be really helpful.
We have Chris in the Wisconsin Dells called in and said that she made crostinis with ingredients like horseradish, caviar, and blue cheese, avocados. Used all that during the big storm that didn't hit Milwaukee or Madison, but it hit other parts of Wisconsin pretty hard. And she thought it'd be a great idea to let people do a build-your-own crostini bar. What do you think?
I love it.
Yeah.
I love that.
That's great.
Friends and family really get into having something to do at the party, too. So being able to go through and customize your own crostini or chili or even nachos is a hit with people.
And if you can, and maybe actually set it outside of the kitchen somewhere, isn't it amazing how everybody really congregates in the kitchen, at least at my place?
Nice too. Yeah.
And if you set something like that up in another room or off a little bit, would they just ignore it or would they actually go there? That is the question. Oh, you might be wind up with a whole bunch of crostini mixings or fixings that nobody uses because they want to stay in the kitchen. And
You could get go ahead.
No, go ahead.
You could get around that by asking people to bring ingredients. So if you're doing a potluck style party, you could ask them to bring the cheese or the onions or whatever so that they'll want to go in and use their products.
So that's not a bad idea either, because typically people call and they say, well, what can I bring or what should I bring? And I said, I don't know. I've already got all these all these different things. And what I could do is actually give people recipes and tell them to make it and bring it along. Would you bring the makings for the Vidalia onion and Swiss dip? And we'll do it right at the house, or the blue cheese potato chips. Oh my goodness! Oh, by the way, Brianne, in her usual efficient way, has looked it up, and the brand that makes football shaped slow cookers is Pro Pots.
Yeah, that's the one. It's just a little 1.5 quart slow cooker.
But that's actually a great idea, because you've got, you know, you for something like a cheese dip or whatever, or even, you know, that would work pretty well. Todd in Madison has something for us. Hi, Todd.
Hello. I've got a slow cooker recipe from an older woman that I know, and it doesn't sound like it works, but it really does. So in your slow cooker, first get a whole bunch of drumsticks. I'm sure you could do anything, but drumsticks are what she normally cooks.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the slow cooker, you take a bottle of French dressing, right? A packet of Lipton onion soup mix or any onion soup mix.
Yeah.
And then a can of jellied cranberries, the kind that are just a solid chunk.
Yeah.
Mix that all up, slow cook them. It is absolutely delicious.
Wait a minute. French dressing, a bottle of French dressing.
Right.
Jelly.
A packet of. Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
A packet of what?
Onion soup mix. Dried
onions.
Soup.
Yeah.
And then jellied cranberries. It comes out like the most delicious barbecue sauce. And when you slow cook it, the chicken legs, the meat just falls off of them. It's really good. Give it a try.
So jellied cranberry, a can of it?
Yep, a can of it. The kind that's a solid chunk that's just like without cranberries. And then just stir it all up until it all breaks up. And it comes out just perfect.
Oh, all right, Todd.
Give it a try. Really, it doesn't sound like it works, but it really does.
Is there
it
any really particular does. Type of French dressing?
She just used like wishbone, just like the, you know, just the classic or, you know, the old school from the 70s.
Yeah.
Sort of the reddish kind. Nothing fancy. I had it at a potluck, and I asked her recipe, and she told me, and I said, well, good grief. I thought you'd, you know, you'd cook for a long time. And she said, I have more important things to do than spend all day in the kitchen.
Oh, well, and you just, do you brown the chicken legs or anything beforehand, or you just throw them in there?
No. Just throw them in there because they take on that really nice deep rich color. I think all the stuff from the dressing and the cranberries just give it a nice rusty color, and it all falls apart.
Do you keep the skin on or do you take the skin off?
You keep leave the skin on.
Keep the skin on.
Nice and simple. Nothing difficult about this recipe at all.
Well, and so then it comes up, but it's off the bone. Essentially, you've just got a bunch of bones in there you pull out.
No. It sort of stays on the bone, but once you pick it up, I mean, some of them fall off, but once you pick it up, you can really, you can gnaw on it a little bit. Another nice, if you have time for one more, one that works good for, and this one really works, you take sauerkraut, put it in the slow cooker, and then lay some pork in it, either pork cutlets, pork chops work, but I like sirloin chops.
Yeah.
Put a layer of sauerkraut, a layer of the pork, and then drizzle honey on it. And do like about three layers. And that honey just takes the bite out of the sauerkraut. The only trouble is you eat so much of that sauerkraut that sometimes you regret it later.
You're not happy later on.
But while you're eating it, that is another one. The honey just takes the bite out of the sauerkraut, and that's another one. And the pork falls apart. That's really good.
Oh, so, well, actually, you can use pretty much any pork, some sort of pork.
Sure.
Yeah, would
bet.
Oh. Well, here you go, Todd. You've brought some more good things to the table here. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome. Thank you.
All right. Now, people are going to be saying, what was that again? How did that go?
Yeah.
And it's for going back to the first one, was a packet of onion soup mix. Which I use onion soup mix on a whole lot of things, and it's great to have packs of that around.
Yeah.
French dressing, a bottle of that, wishbone is fine. And then those jellied cranberries, a can of that, the solid kind. I know exactly what he's talking about. And you throw all that in with chicken legs in the crock pot and for however many hours, probably about 5 hours.
Yeah, that sounds about right. That could be a good hearty Super Bowl appetizer.
Yeah, that's not actually. I think that wouldn't be bad. And then sauerkraut in the, and then some pork, and then honey on top of that, and then another layer of sauerkraut, pork, honey on top of that, and maybe even one more layer, and that in the crock pot. And that I could see too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that would be an easy dinner time solution.
That'd be a nice dinner time solution for sure. Well, here we're down to the last minute. I want to thank you guys so much for being with us. And again, Simple and Delicious magazine, you know, you can pick it up right at the grocery store.
Yep.
And your cookbook, the chocolate book, I'm sorry, what's the title of it again? Is
Chocolate Delights Cookbook. So it's Taste of Home Chocolate Delights Cookbook, and it's on sale anywhere that books are sold. And it was available starting on February 2nd, so it's out there right now.
And all these recipes we've been talking about, you guys are going to post it up tomorrow on Simple and Delicious website?
It'll be on tasteofhome.com.
Tasteofhome.com, and we also have several of them up on our Facebook page that you guys were so kind to let us have as well. We will really appreciate those recipes. I certainly appreciate them. I'm going to have a lot of fun. I hope you guys have a great Super Bowl.
You too, Larry.
Yeah, eat a lot. Have a good time. And are you going to make that Vidalia onion Swiss dip?
For sure.
Okay, there was a pause. Thanks again so much for joining us. Ellie Martin-Cliff, Peggy Woodward from Taste of Home Brands, Simple and Delicious magazine, our guest today. Well, that was a lot of fun. I really enjoyed it. And thank you for listening. Stay with us. Lots in store on the Ideas Network.